Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello everybody, Vegas Dave here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. As completely entrenched as I am in football coming up, I wanted to take an episode here to talk strictly about baseball. A big trade went down that I haven't discussed yet, and I also got a really great question through email that I wanted to discuss. So we'll start with the trade. Adam Dunn was acquired by the Diamondbacks. Once again, the Cincinnati Reds dump an aging star in exchange for some prospects, and the Diamondbacks add a very strong bat to their lineup. It's kind of funny to me, though, because the Diamondbacks already have Chris B. Young and Mark Reynolds, who are pretty much extra base hit or nothing, because they've got so much power, but they're also so likely to strike out. And they get the king of the extra base hit or nothing in Adam Dunn. This guy either hits the tar out of the ball and it leaves the park, or hits off the wall for a double, or he strikes out. So it's kind of funny to me because I think the Diamondbacks actually could have used somebody that would get on base more consistently, like a guy that could actually hit 300, but there's nothing wrong with adding a guy like Adam Dunn, who, of course, is a lot better at hitting home runs than Young and Reynolds are at this point in their careers. And they didn't lose anybody in their active roster to get Adam Dunn. So it was a great acquisition for the Diamondbacks, but it doesn't make them any less hit or miss than they already were. I still think they've got one of the best 1-2 punches in the league in Brandon Webb and Dan Heron, but after that, it's all hit or miss. You really don't know what you're going to get from Randy Johnson on any given day. You really don't know what you're going to get from Doug Davis. You don't know what you're going to get from virtually the entire offense. It's just a very hit or miss team. When they're on, they can easily beat anybody in the league. When they're off, they're just very easy to beat, with the exception of having Webb or Heron on the mound, which always results in 7-plus innings of quality pitching. And it's those guys alone that might get them into the playoffs, and those guys alone that might make them a very serious threat in the playoffs. But I think the Dodgers are a little more well-rounded of a team, so I don't know that acquiring Adam Dunn puts the Diamondbacks back in the forefront in the NL West, per se, but it's definitely a good acquisition for them because, like I said, adding a bat of Dunn's caliber for nothing, just like the Dodgers essentially did with Manny Ramirez, is just something you're not going to turn down in a playoff race. So we'll see how it all pans out. The NL West race is turning out to be just a two-horse race with Colorado dropping off. It will come down to Arizona and Los Angeles from the looks of it, so it should be interesting down the stretch. If I had to take a team right now, though, I would probably go with the Dodgers, despite the fact that the Diamondbacks have the better pitching duo. Now, the question I got was from Ross in Arizona, and he asked me, with the Rangers, Josh Hamilton is having such an incredible season, and yet nobody, absolutely nobody, is suspecting him of using anything at all. Performance enhancers, something that isn't testable maybe. And he's not saying that Josh Hamilton is cheating. In fact, Ross believes that he's not cheating. But he wants to know why nobody's even brought it up. Why hasn't it been brought up that this guy comes out of nowhere and is putting up gargantuan numbers? 81 runs, 29 home runs, 115 RBIs, and a .305 batting average as of me recording this show. Why hasn't anybody brought it up? And I've got a few reasons for you, Russ. First of all, it's a great story. I mean, this guy overcame serious addiction to alcohol, cocaine, marijuana. This guy completely turned his life around through faith and religion. He completely cleaned himself up, and of course, he's gone on to have this great success, and it's just a great story. And if you don't have any proof that somebody's had any wrongdoing, that, you know, you don't have any Balko reports or anything like that, and you're just assuming because somebody's doing well, they're on steroids, you're going to get a huge backlash if you're the reporter that brings that up. Or you're the athlete or color commentator that brings that up. You're going to get a huge backlash from the entire country and from virtually anybody that's ever rehabbed from drug or alcohol addiction. You're going to get just a huge backlash saying, how dare you accuse this guy of that? He's done nothing wrong, etc., etc. It's a lot easier to attack a guy like A-Rod, who everybody, not everybody, but most people dislike because he makes so much money and because he has Scott Boras as his agent and because he never wins the big game. It's a lot easier to attack a guy that is generally disliked by fans than it is to attack a guy that's got to be a fan favorite to pretty much everybody who's got a heart without any basis. I mean, if there was a report that came out that he had conspired with somebody that had taken steroids or a test had gone wrong or been covered up, that's one thing. But to just baselessly say it would be a tough thing to do considering how popular he is. More scientifically, another reason would be the fact that because of his drug problems in the past, he has been regularly tested for drugs by the MLB. I know as of last year he was being tested 3 times a week. He was voluntarily giving urine samples to Major League Baseball. I don't know that it's still 3 times a week. I would guess that it's probably not. But regardless, I would imagine that at some point something would have came up in one of those tests if it were steroids. Obviously, you did mention it could be something undetectable, but considering the guy is going in and giving tests consistently, he probably wouldn't try and slip something by. And lastly, the main reason I see for there not being a lot of question marks around this guy is the fact that he was drafted first overall in 1999. He was the absolute best pick in baseball. He was the best prospect in baseball. And if it wasn't for his drug and alcohol problems, we probably would have seen him crack into the league a lot sooner with as big a bang or almost as big a bang as he has now. Generally speaking, if you're going to accuse somebody of steroids without proof, you're going to do it because of their performance on the field. You're going to say, hey, look at that guy. He was always great, and now his game has severely declined all of a sudden. I wonder if he was on steroids. Or, wow, this guy's always sucked. Now he's great. I wonder if he's on steroids or some sort of performance-enhancing drug. This is Josh Hamilton's first full season, and he's had a ton of potential. Nobody ever questioned his potential. If he could keep his head on his shoulders, people knew he was capable of amazing things. And so here he is in his first full season doing amazing things. He hasn't really done anything in his career to this point to lead me to believe that these numbers are fake or boosted up because of performance-enhancing drugs. This is what he's capable of. This is what we knew he was capable of. So I would say those reasons would be my explanation as to why people aren't really bringing up steroids or some other performance-enhancing drugs in the same sentence as Josh Hamilton. Hopefully that's an adequate enough answer. Of course, everybody else, please, you can always email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com if you have any questions or topics you want me to discuss. I love answering questions and whatnot and getting my listeners involved. But while we're on the topic of great stories, I just want to throw a few out there before I wrap things up. Brad Zeigler of the Oakland A's very quietly pitched 39 scoreless innings to start his career. He did so out of the bullpen in Oakland. He basically usually came in middle relief, and just every single time he came into the game, he did not give up a run. Not even an unearned run for 39 innings. And that is a remarkable stretch, no matter how many years you've been in the league. But to see that happen for a guy that comes into the league and starts off with a 39-inning scoreless streak, that is incredible. That shattered the previous record of scoreless innings to start a career. And I don't know what's in store for him. He doesn't strike out a lot of people, so I don't know how well equipped he is to be a closer. But whether he goes on to be a Hall of Fame closer or a middle-of-the-pack middle reliever, it doesn't take anything away from the incredible start to his career. 39 scoreless innings gets a hat tip in my book. And the other hat tip I wanted to give was to Rocco Baldelli, who I've always been a big fan of, and it's always frustrated me a lot to see how much he's struggled with injuries. For years, he's been misdiagnosed with so many different things, and he's missed so much time, and they finally figured out that he had a mitochondriac disorder that makes simple tasks exhausting. So just simply jogging or doing jumping jacks or running the bases exhausts Baldelli. And it's great to see him back on the field. The Rays have found a way around it to some degree. They allow him to skip practice beforehand. He doesn't have to run the bases. He doesn't have to do strenuous things like that, so he can save his energy for actually being in the game. And he hit a home run against the White Sox last night. That was just an awesome thing to see. It's really cool to see somebody overcome something like that, because I remember at the beginning of the season when this was diagnosed, they told him there is absolutely zero chance you'll ever play in the game again. And choking back tears, he said, "I'm not ready to retire yet. I still want to give it a shot." And so, once again, regardless of what happens from this point on, to see him make a comeback like this, especially when his team is without Crawford and Longoria, the emotional lift it must be for these guys to see Baldelli out there, considering everything he's been through, must be incredible in the locker room as well. So hat tip to him, hat tip to Zeigler, and of course, hat tip to Josh Hamilton for everything he's been through and the remarkable season he's having. Hopefully not on performance-enhancing drugs. On that note, I'm going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com or just leave a comment here on the page. Thank you for listening. That's my dime, because 2 cents just isn't enough.